In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
Historians usually treat this subject along with several other big movements that were taking place. And the Reformation historically lies between a time of Renaissance, that's the official word for it, in Western Europe, and then shortly afterwards, Enlightenment. They're overlapping right at this time when in the 16th century, well, as the legend goes, this obscure monk in Germany decides kind of on a whim to start a debate about indulgences. And the next thing you know, the Reformation is underway. Of course, there's much more to it than that. And there's much more to the Reformation than just that obscure monk, Martin Luther. But what was the real central issue? And as we celebrate during the month of October, the Reformation of the Church, going on 500 years, by the way, what should be the central issue today, especially in our preaching? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Columbus Day. It's the 10th of October. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Joel Baisley joins us for the first half hour to talk about preaching on the Reformation. In the second half hour, we'll talk about the birth of Moses. It's one of those very interesting, very prophetic stories. Deaconess Pam Nielsen will be our guest. And then in the second hour today, because the church remembered yesterday, Father Abraham, father in the faith, the man who believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, says St. Paul and the Old Testament. We'll be talking about Abraham on this Monday afternoon with Dr. David Adams of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Pastor Joel Baisley is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. He's translated several of the writings of C.F.W. Walther, one of the founders and the first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Joel, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Todd.
For Walther, who was, I think we can call him, one of the foremost students of the Reformation in his age. He was a true student of Luther, of the Lutheran Confessions, and of that history. What was the central issue of the Reformation?
The central issue of the Reformation, and I think Walther, as you said, had it right as far as Luther was concerned, who was at the storm center of it, was a tyranny of conscience. It was the idea that the gospel had come in order to free consciences from the terrible burden of sin, and therefore the works of the law, which St. Paul and Jesus tells us cannot justify us, were again being used to imprison consciences that God had wanted to be freed through the wonderful sacrifice of Christ from that burden of sin. And so if we put it in a few words, it was a spiritual tyranny of conscience, a burdening of consciences with man-made laws and doctrines that obscured the freeing gospel that we have in Jesus Christ, given us through the apostles and blessedly restored in its purity through God's chosen instrument of the Reformation, Martin Luther.
Walther tended to view the Reformation in his day, and I think in terms of its history as well, as a middle way. What did he mean by that?
Well, the middle, I suppose, would be described as being surrounded by the extremes. And so the Lutheran middle is defined as the middle because, as Luther says, on the old theological horse, you can fall off on one side or the other. And so Lutheranism is, in effect, the enemy of the papacy because it stands up against the tyrannical authority of the papacy to overshadow God's word. It stands attacked from the other side, from the Protestant sects, which see human reason and human judgment as being sort of the filter or the arbitrator of truth, rather than the Word of God, which is often incomprehensible to reason. And it stands also in the middle against the godless, those rationalists who believe that the ultimate arbitrator of truth is, again, the human conscience, and even goes so far as to deny the existence of God.
Now, nowadays, when you talk about a middle way, most people consider it to be, they tend to think in kind of, well, to put it bluntly, kind of Marxist terms. They tend to think about two thesis and antithesis that is synthesized in the middle by somehow creating a third thing out of synthesizing two diametrically opposed things. But that's not what Luther was doing. That's not how Walther viewed the Reformation. He viewed that at the middle way as the narrow path defined by Scripture alone. Talk about that.
Yes, the modern or synergistic idea of truth and evil is that they sort of play off against each other, and there are two opposite steps that make steps forward of progress in their conflict. The view of evil and good and truth and lie in a biblical worldview or in God's worldview or in a Christian worldview is not in order to make some sort of compromise between the truth and the lie or good and evil, but that in God's great grace, he perfects that which is good and perfect from God in his word, silences, overcomes, bears with, and then outlasts, if you will, the lie and the evil. And that's the biblical faith, not that there is something good and evil, but God overcomes evil with good, overcomes the lie with the truth, which is in Jesus Christ.
We are preparing in, well, about a decade or so to celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation, 16th century Reformation. Walther thought and studied and preached at the 350th anniversary. How did he approach it then in his context, albeit a much younger United States that had advanced a little beyond the Mississippi River? And it was largely a pioneer or a near pioneer kind of atmosphere that he found himself in.
Well, he saw the text that he uses on that 350th anniversary sermon for the Reformation is actually God's founding the Old Testament Jubilee year in Leviticus chapter 25. And just as in the Old Testament, God had instituted that feast for his people as a time of freedom, when those who were indentured slaves would be set free, and if there were family land that had to be lent out or rented out, it returned to the family as eternally theirs. And so in the life of Israel, the Jubilee year was a reminder of the ultimate freedom that they had in the great grace event of the Old Testament and God's deliverance from slavery into the promised land in Egypt through the Exodus. And so the Jubilee year was always this idea of God's freeing us. And that's exactly what Walther does in all of his Reformation sermons, and especially in this one for the 350th anniversary, to remind his people in Lutheranism the freedom from this tyranny of the conscience that has been given to us in Martin Luther, and to give God thanks, not just for Martin Luther, but that God used Martin Luther to free the church from that tyranny of the papacy 350 years ago. And that freedom and that deliverance should be no less precious. It is no less precious to us 500 years later.
Now, people looking back on the way Walther 150 years ago reflects on Luther and the Reformation, I think the tendency is to say Walther had a kind of romantic view of Luther and of the Reformation. Maybe he thought too highly of the man or too highly of the Reformation. He seems to kind of almost speak of it in biblical terms as though this is something God had foretold and foreplanned for the church in the New Testament era, this great Reformation. Did he make too much of the event?
Well, I think he runs along those exact lines, but he just doesn't do it in terms of a feeling or sort of making a monument out of Luther, but actually on biblical grounds. The tyranny that came about through the papacy, he points out, is the, for all the tribulations that the church goes through, this was the one oppression that was actually prophesied by Christ and the apostles in biblical times. And so it's not so much a romantic recognition as it is a biblical recognition that the spirit and the office of Antichrist would mount in the church. And he applies that prophecy in a very rigorous way to the history of the church and the ascendancy of the papacy, to not romantically, but to biblically state the dangers that come about when that tyranny happens in the church, and that in the days of Luther, it was dark as night. The gospel had been hidden over, and the church was troubled and seeking, groaning for freedom, just as the slaves in Egypt had. But it's not just a romantic puffing up of Luther, but it is actually a pretty good application of biblical prophecy to the New Testament church.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll have another 10 minutes or so with Pastor Joel Baisley talking about preaching on the Reformation on this Monday, October the 10th. It's Columbus Day. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
He's the most Lutheran man in the world.
I'm not always in Pensacola, Florida, but when I am, I attend Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Congregation of Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida invites you to join us for divine services on Sundays at 8 or 10:30, Sunday school and Bible class at 9:15. Whether you're in Pensacola to enjoy the white sandy beaches of the Emerald Coast or for military training, we invite you to join us. Jesus is here. Word, water, bread and wine for you.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Stay Lutheran, my friends.
How would you like to win the Essential Lutheran Library? Books like Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, Law and Gospel, the Lutheran Service Book, and the Lutheran Book of Prayer, and four more resources. All you have to do is share the Issues Etc. Reformation Week video on your Facebook page and send an email to contest@issuesetc.org. You'll find the video at issuesetc.org and click support. We'll announce the winner of the Essential Lutheran Library on Friday, October 28th.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about preaching the Reformation. Pastor Joel Baisley is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. 2 weeks from today, we're kicking off another Reformation week here on Issues Etc., a whole week of the best guests and topics leading up to the Reformation. I think we're kicking it off with Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House talking about Lutheranism versus Roman Catholicism. That's just the first of many. You want to find out what's going to be on Issues Etc. Reformation Week, you can just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and you'll see the latest YouTube video, Issues Etc. Reformation Week 2011. All the guests and topics are there. Now, you can help promote it by sharing that video on your Facebook page. You can even go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/issuesetc, find the video there, and share it on your Facebook page. When you do, send us an email, contest@issuesetc.org, your name will be entered for a drawing on October 28th. You can win the Essential Lutheran Library, which includes the Lutheran Study Bible, Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions, the Lutheran Book of Prayer, and many others. It's a value of almost $500. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Share that video on your Facebook page. Send us an email, contest@issuesetc.org. And on October 28th, we'll draw a winner of the Essential Lutheran Library. One of the things that Walther has to contend about with regard to the Reformation is that 150 years ago, we were heavily in the swing of the Enlightenment, the Age of Reason. And many people were wanting to appropriate Luther and the Reformation as a champion of the so-called Enlightenment. What's the response to that?
Well, there can't be a falsehood that's powerful without some truth to it, and we would have to say that what those proponents of the Enlightenment are saying about Luther that is true is that there was much superstition in Roman Catholicism, that is, placing trust into rituals and things that God's Word did not make any promises about. And that's the definition of superstition. It's belief in something that has no Word of God and thinking that something good is going to come of it. And Luther, in his doctrine of Word alone, of relying only in the promises that God makes literally in his scriptures, certainly did away with a lot of superstition and the hold that superstition had over people. But that being said, it was not reason which the Enlightenment touts, which then gets exalted, but the Word of God, and that's the difference. It was not reason that overcame superstitions, although reason certainly can. But it was God's Word and God's Word alone that was the authority for Luther. So the proponents of the Enlightenment want to say Luther freed us from the tyranny of superstition and put reason upon the throne. Nothing could be further than the truth. There is much in Scripture that is not understood, and even believers don't understand them with their reason. For instance, how God could love a sinner like me is beyond my reason. I don't see why he would waste his son's life on someone like me. How body and blood can be in bread and wine is beyond my reason. But God's Word is greater than my reason. God's declaration of love for a sinner like me overcomes my reason and brings me to faith in his goodness. And so it's not reason that is used as the filter of truth, but when God's Word speaks it, even when we don't understand it, and there is much we don't understand, it is true because God says it, and therefore the Word of God is true. And we must not use our reason in order to say, well, I don't understand how the Bible can say that. I don't understand how it can be true. Well, good. That means it must be from God, who is above our understanding.
Many in the Protestant tradition, and I'm not talking here about Lutherans per se, but I'm talking about the Protestant tradition as opposed to the Lutheran Reformation that happened to coincide historically, understand the Lutheran Reformation pretty much in terms of, well, there were the Catholics, and then Luther came along and said, we don't want to be Catholic anymore, so anything that is of the Roman Catholic Church was rejected, but a simple reading of the Lutheran Confessions shows that to be a terrible distortion. Why is that so important to understand, that this was not about simply rejecting everything that the Roman Catholic Church taught and practiced? It really was about keeping as much as we possibly could.
Well, the Lutheran Reformation was not a rejection of Roman Catholicism at all. It resulted in Roman Catholicism rejecting Lutheranism. It was Luther's finding confidence in his salvation from the clear word of God, and then being gripped by that confidence, that sureness of God's word that made him speak the truth in the face of lies. And so the false doctrine in the Roman Catholicism are indeed lies. They're against God's word, and he stood up against those, but not in order to reject Catholicism or God's church that was in Catholicism, but to bring it to the knowledge of the truth that he had found, and that the Spirit would not let him wander or vacillate from. And so to say he was a rebel or rejecting the church is in no way true. He loved the church and wanted her to come back and be faithful to the word of God. So there's no rebel in Luther. And when the Reformed reject the presence of Christ in the sacrament or regeneration and second birth, which is promised in God's word and holy baptism, he was equally adamant to reject that because it was a lie. It went against God's word. And what can a Christian do but trust in God's word and speak his word and confess it? So, you know, the political ramifications and divisions of the church happened, but it was because people reject God's word that the church fractured. And it's not Luther's fault. We should thank God for standing up and restoring that truth in the midst of the lie. And what Christian in any denomination would not say God's truth is more important than a lie?
Talk about the role of the ongoing role of adherence to, Walther insisted upon, subscription to the Lutheran Confessions for the Church of the Reformation today.
Well, just as the ancient church subscribed to the Apostles' Creed and Nicene Creed because it was the biblical doctrine of the Trinity and of Christ, the Lutheran confessions are also the truth of the biblical truth being confessed in the midst of controversy, which means in the midst of its opposition. And since the Word of God is always true, and the confession of that word must that rests on it must therefore be true, and what contends against it is a lie, it is the way in which we apply the correct doctrine of Scripture against that lie. And there are many people, even Lutherans that I've heard speaking, that say, "Oh, I don't think those Reformation issues are relevant anymore. I think we've gotten over them." Well, unfortunately not. The fact of the divided church and the divided doctrine of the church means that these confessions of the Lutheran Church are just as important for us today to keep us in line with the truth as they were back in the day when they were first confessed in the Lutheran Church by the Reformers.
This is what Walther says in that 350th anniversary sermon for the Reformation. He says, "The overarching twofold motto of our church is God's Word, nothing but God's Word, and all of God's Word. Grace, nothing but grace, and all of God's grace." With about a minute, what is Walther saying of the Reformation then and today?
Well, he's really pointing out what he does consistently and often in his writings and sermons. There are two great principles in Christianity. One, that the Bible is God's word and tells us the truth from the very heart and mouth of God, and that the central message of that is God's grace. And the way that it gets attacked by the devil when God gave his word to Adam and Eve and they first fell, and he is consistent in that, is to add or subtract from that word. And when that word is added to or subtracted from, it creates a different Christ, it creates a different system of doctrine, and it creates spiritual chaos and problem. which delights the devil. And so Walther is a fallible man like all of us, as was Luther, prone to error. But the guiding light and truth is God's Word, and throughout that God's Word, what permeates and comes through is our salvation in Jesus Christ from sin, death, and the devil, which is sufficient and adequate. It doesn't need to be added to, and it certainly must not be subtracted from, for it is the revelation of God, and that makes it a perfect, seamless whole that we must keep as it is.
Pastor Joel Basil is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. He's translated several writings of C.F.W. Walther, the first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. With just about 15 seconds, tell us a little bit about these resources from Walther that you have translated.
Yes, there are about four seminal works from the 19th century that I've translated in completion, and they are available on my website. And they have been edited into seven topical books called The Treasury of C.F.W. Walther. If people are interested in particular seasons of the year or topics, they might consider one of the Treasury series.
Folks, you can find out more about the C.F.W. Walther resources translated by Pastor Basil. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org. Look for Mark 5 Publications under the Listen on Demand page. Joel, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we'll talk about the birth of Moses on this Monday afternoon, October the 10th. Deaconess Pam Nielsen will be our guest.
At SteadfastLutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.
Y'all been hearing about Country Bob's all-purpose sauce and how it tastes great on any and everything you may be cooking and serving at your family dinner table. Well, over the years, I've discovered that Country Bob's is much more than that. You see, Country Bob's is that secret ingredient in many of my recipes, whether it be for chili soups or stews or that favorite marinade for the select meat of the day we're grilling. If you're interested in discovering the secret, log on to countrybobs.com and check out their blog. Exchange recipes or buy yourself a Country Bob's cookbook and become part of the Country Bob's family. And remember, it all comes down to the sauce.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
It sounds like a fictitious horror story, but it's actually true. Two so-called doctors wrote an ethics paper. They advocate aborting babies at will because their nervous systems aren't developed as well as yours or mine. They say doctors and mothers have an obligation to abort babies who are disabled by inducing early delivery. And if the mother changes her mind after the premature baby is born, the abortionist has a right to kill the child against the will of the mother. Only those with Neanderthal-type ethics could advocate such cruelty against helpless babies and think they have the ability to grant moral status to another human being. Worse yet, the article was published in a prestigious medical journal. It's an example of why our country is in such a sorry state.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.